The name of the game is called Thisbin.
Thisbin?
Thisbin. It's not too difficult. Mm-hmm. Each player gets 6 cards, except for the dealer, the player on the dealer's right, who gets 7.
On the right?
Yes. The second card is turned up, except on Tuesday.
On Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
I need another jack.
Oh. Now, what you need now is either a king and a deuce, except at night, of course, when you'd need a queen and a 4.
Except at night.
If you had gotten a king, then you'd get another card, except when it's dark, when you'd have to give it back.
If it were dark on Tuesday.
And welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
Now, last week, we said we would be talking about football this week.
Yes.
Because it'd be great, and we all love talking about football. Yes. Unfortunately, it's an international break, so we can't do that. So we're going to be talking about international football instead.
Hey.
Which is a kind of football.
Which is a kind of football, and it's a great kind of football, isn't it? We love international football, don't we?
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
That's fair. It's where we all. Yeah, oh, don't shake your head
no,
like that.
It's rubbish.
Oh well, luckily UEFA have been listening to people like you,
yeah,
and they've come up with some crazy new ideas. And for the next half an hour, we're going to be discussing the craziest of all ideas that they've had in a long time, and which is Terry.
The Nations League.
Nations League. There it is. Yes, the Nations League. It's been around. Well, it was announced about 3 years ago.
Yep.
And
we did a podcast on it.
We did do a podcast on it. We did a sort of podcast on it. We didn't really know too much details about it. But now we do know all the details about it. And I think we're all pretty much clued up about what's going on there. Now, listeners, if you don't know much about it, if you haven't been to the same website that we spent about 10 minutes looking at it on this afternoon...
Then listen on.
You're
about to find out.
Yeah, but I think we're going to talk about how it is actually going to work. Because we love things like this, don't
yes.
we? We love looking at it.
Do love convoluted
yeah.
league structures. Love a convoluted league structure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you found this, haven't you, doing the box set. It's opened up new vistas of convoluted league structures, isn't it, for you?
It has. But I think this one is the most convoluted I've come across.
It's convoluted, and yet it's also very simple.
Yeah, in the same way that someone on a daytime quiz show would say, you'll get to know the way this game's played. Remember that Jasper Carrot one called Golden Balls? No one understood how you did it. You just had these things going around everywhere. You passed them to each other, tried to steal them off your opponent for some reason.
Significantly, yeah. I don't remember that. I do remember what Paul Ross did, in which the aim was for the contestant to win Paul Ross's fee. It was called No Win, No Fee, or Win, No Fee. And that was quite convoluted.
So this is a kind of going for gold in this one, isn't it?
Yeah, now there you go. There you've got a convoluted daytime quiz show.
Do you think they'll get Hans Zimmer to do the official anthem for the Nations League?
The Nations League, the heat is on, the time is right. It's up for you to play your game.
We'll get Mike Post's 18 thing. Nations League, Nations League. Whereas on the continent...
Yes.
Because we should call it the continent now, because, you know, Article 50 will be triggered by the time you hear this.
Listening. Exactly. Yes, over there where Johan and Jacques Foreigner lives, yes, they'll be singing that, won't they?
Yes, that's right, yes.
So, okay, well, first off we've got to do is actually say what the Nations League is and what it's not. You know, it's not going to be the normal qualification process for the next European Championship. This is all leading up to the European Championship of 2020. It's not actually the qualification for that tournament. It's actually like a mini tournament that happens within that. But it also has elements where if you do well in it, then you might be able to get into the playoff after the qualification.
To get into the tournament.
Yeah. We're going to have to take this really slowly. We're all going to be nice and confused by the end of this. I can see this whole small, far away thing conversation is going to be happening. So we won't know where teams are until the end of this World Cup qualification campaign. So when that finishes in November, UEFA can then get their calculators out and sort out their coefficients, because we love coefficients on here.
We love coefficients. This is just the perfect storm.
This is the perfect storm. Everything is coming together, and this is why we're perhaps a bit too excited about it. We're like kids at Christmas, aren't we, about this?
Yeah. Sorry.
We've already made up two songs about the Nations League. I'm sure they're going to use at least one of them. Right, so they rank all 55 teams. So there's 55 teams now, because Kosovo are there. 55 teams in Europe, split into 16 groups.
Split into four leagues.
Four leagues.
Each league has four groups. The first two leagues are leagues of 12 with four groups.
So four groups of three.
Yep. League C is three groups of four and one group of three.
Yep.
And then League D is four groups of four.
And as we understand it, Jan, they play each other home and away, as you would do in a regular group.
Yeah.
So there's going to be, what, four games for the elite teams, should we say, the teams in the top half, and six games for the ones at the bottom half. Everyone understands this so far. 16 groups in four different strata. Because, obviously, one of the main things about this league is the fact that, like in club football, there is now promotion and relegation between the four leagues.
It does make it sound good. Sorry, I can't help but thinking, I've done over 150 of these, and so far I've avoided having any conversation at all about coefficients.
Until today.
Until today. Yes. We save it for special occasions.
I thought I'd got away with it. I thought, you know what, it's never going to come up now. It's all right. I don't have to know anything about it.
When Oakley was doing his podcast, we were talking about coefficients every other week. That's a good point. I got forgotten about
That's probably why I sounded so nervous for the first 100, because I was worried about it coming up.
I've already got the coefficient list as it stands now. As Terry said, the top 12 teams will be going into League A. As it stands at the moment, as far as we can understand, this is how the groups would be split up in the top group. League A, Group 1, would be...
Germany, Switzerland, Croatia.
Wow, that's all right, isn't it? That sounds like a fun
Germany,
group.
Germany, Switzerland, Croatia. Yeah, that's
pretty good.
And then the next one would be...
France, Spain, Poland.
Oh, that's a pretty good group as well.
That's a bit feisty, that one, isn't it? That's quite a good one. This is getting a bit more likely. The next one would be
Belgium, England, the Republic of Ireland.
No.
That's not so bad. And finishing up,
Portugal, Italy, and Ukraine.
Those teams will play each other in a very short space of time. That's all done in
September to March.
No, this is September to November.
Well, great.
And this replaces the standard friendlies, doesn't it?
I think that's what the general thing is to get rid of a lot of meaningless friendlies, or so they've said. It hasn't done away with them. But it means if you're in the bottom half of the draw, you will have fewer opportunities to play friendlies. If you're in the top half of the draw... then you will do, because obviously you're more likely to be in a three-team group. So you end up with two spare match days.
Because there's a demand from other confederations to play the bigger teams, the top teams in Europe, and there's less of a demand to play the smaller teams. So they can have those extra fixtures. They get to play meaningful competitive fixtures.
Now, this coefficient is going to change. It's going to change. There are still six more games to play in the World Cup qualifying schedule. So these will change a bit. I don't think there's going to be too much upheaval in the top half of those groups. But teams like Republic of Ireland and Ukraine might slip out, because there's got quite a few teams that are currently in League B, which include Iceland, Wales and Russia, that are quite close. And the Netherlands, obviously, as well, because they're 13th at the moment. But they're only, I think, right about 400 points. It's like 29,000 and a half for Ukraine and 29,000 for Netherlands. Scotland, if you're interested, they sit at 34th at the moment. And that means that they'll be in C, the third tier, which is where Northern Ireland are meant to be at the moment. But Northern Ireland sit right at the top of that. They're 25th. So, and they're about 500 points behind Slovenia. And I think 500 points, I think that equates to about five goals, I think.
Over the remainder
of the qualification programme.
Yeah.
I think that's the...
So it's pretty fluid then.
Yes, pretty fluid. And if teams have a really bad remainder of their qualification period, then that will see them slide down the rankings a bit. But obviously this is important, because once this is set, afterwards, you don't need to go back to this, and it's all just a question of promotion and relegation, isn't it?
Subsequent Nations Leagues will be done by that, so you'll be in your division, so you're in that.
That makes it really interesting then.
Yeah.
Because one, I don't have to go back to coefficients.
You don't have to go back to coefficients.
Ever again after this. So that this is just a starting point, and after that, they just let the markets decide.
Yeah. We may have to go back to coefficients, because we can do a conversation about the club coefficients, you know, and see, because France are doing quite well at the moment, and Italy are doing quite well, and see how close we are to losing our fourth Champions League spot. But that's a conversation for another time.
Mm.
And Jan, you'll love it. Really, really. Maybe a special 300th episode, we can do it all about coefficients.
All about the coefficients.
So how's it sound so far? Do we think this is sounding pretty good? Because there's more to come. This isn't just it. This isn't just like this small tournament here that, you know, right, you'll have little three-team groups and between September and November.
At first I looked at this and I thought, oh, well, it's always going to work this way, isn't it? All the best teams get lumped together and they'll just be selling off those rights. Oh, it's just going to concentrate the revenues and all that type of stuff there. And then I thought, hang about, I never, ever, ever watch international friendlies because they're terrible. And this is going to make it really exciting certainly in between the major tournaments, because there's only two and they're every couple of years. Well, this is going to fill the gaps, isn't it? So, yes, I think it's wonderful. And I may learn to love international football again.
Well, yeah, because at the end of this, at the end of this brief period, this September to November time, then you get the group winners of the top tier come together the following summer to play
the final four.
The
Nations League final four.
Yes.
A semi-final, third place playoff and final. Yeah?
Yes.
So a four-game tournament.
We can't confuse it with the final of the Euro 2020, because that ends up with a four-way tournament as well.
Oh, right. That's the one in Wembley.
Yeah, that's the one at Wembley.
But the Nations League Final Four is in 2019.
Yes, yeah.
So the Nations League Final Four will be held in 2019. I don't know where it's going to be held, though.
I don't think
it hasn't been established.
I think it's held at home grounds.
Okay.
I think whoever finishes best gets to.
All right, okay. Yeah. And then the final is presumably then in the home ground of whoever is the best seeded team.
That's how it works.
So they're not holding it right. Okay, so it's not that right. All right, well, that's an interesting move. It's kind of closer to the old style European Championship.
Well, yeah, that was only because then the host was only decided once everyone had qualified. I think.
Yeah, but they're not doing it that way. They're not doing it that way. It might be nice to have that final four in a neutral venue. I mean, we're excited about this, but it's quite likely that other people will look at this and will just walk away and go, "Nah, stupid," and not pay any attention.
Playoffs will consist of two one-off semi-finals. Best ranked team versus fourth best ranked team, and second best ranked team versus third best ranked team, played at home of higher ranked teams. And the one-off final between the two semi-final winners, venue drawn in advance.
Venue drawn in advance.
So it could be a neutral venue.
I'm
assuming, I'm inferring from venue drawn in advance that they will draw lots as to who gets that. But who gets
between the two of them?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, could be.
But I suppose the possibility is they could have it in a neutral venue. But I mean, I would be concerned that with an inaugural tournament like this, it might not work, frankly.
Yeah.
And
so,
no one will buy tickets.
So what you'll have is you'll have a winner there in June 2019. Someone will go up and lift a trophy. One of the 12 teams that is in the top of the European rankings at the moment. But that's not the end of the Nations League, because obviously you've got the relegation and promotion. It will start again after the European Championships in 2020. It will start again, but obviously with the promotion and relegation, four new teams in the top flight, four teams going down to the second tier. We have the Euros 2020, which obviously starts off a bit later because you've had this League of Nations law.
Be careful.
Nations League.
Yes, and that could happen a lot.
That is going to happen a lot, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know what happened last time as well.
There's nothing to be ashamed of. That can happen a lot.
Yes.
A lot of people are going to call it the League of Nations.
I know. Yeah.
Paul Merson will always call it the League of Nations.
Do you think so?
Definitely.
Do you think he studied the Treaty of Versailles? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
That he did, because I'm pretty certain he must have spent some time in school. Whether he paid attention or not, I don't know. I mean, really, no. This is schoolboy history. So, anyway.
Anyway, well, the qualification for Euro 2020 starts in March 2019 and finishes in November 2019.
Yes, that's so short.
Really,
which is great.
Yeah.
Hands up. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Qualification campaign is boring.
I know,
because it's long. It's too long.
Yeah, yeah. This World Cup one has been going on for ages. We've only played four games.
Yeah.
More than half of the teams that entered the World Cup are now out of it. We're not even halfway through our qualification process in Europe.
It's unbelievably tedious.
Yeah.
It's so tedious that our England manager had to go off and get himself sacked just because he was just so bored. He just decided that he had one too many free dinner and then ended up getting himself sacked. That wouldn't have happened if he'd had work to do.
If he'd been otherwise engaged.
Yeah.
So I think that from a scheduling point of view, this works out rather nicely.
Yes.
Because I do like the idea of like having like March, November done. 1 year, less than a year, qualify. We know who's going and that's flat.
Now there's five international breaks it covers.
Mm-hmm.
The teams will be split into groups of five or six.
Five or six.
10 groups.
Yes.
Top two go through.
Yep.
So 20 qualify through this method.
Yeah, which means four more to go.
So where do those four come from, Jan?
Do they come from some kind of convoluted playoff system off the back of the Nations League?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because yes, they do.
What a guess.
I don't see how it could be regarded as convoluted.
Yeah.
It's a playoff system.
Have you ever played Totopoly?
No.
It's like a horse racing version of Monopoly. But there is a stage in the middle of the game where you have to clear the whole of the board and flip it over and set the whole board up again on the other side. This does this twice.
This is why I love this thing, because it is. It's straight out of Waddington's, isn't it? Waddington's probably did. Waddington's will actually have the official Nations League board game.
This is what I meant by convoluted, because you get to the end of it and you think, all right, well, we've got a winner now. And then you go, OK, well, that was all very exciting. And then you go, yeah, we're not finished. Now we're going to go back to it and do some playoffs.
See, Terry, if we start talking about board games, I'm going to have to bring up that whole thing about the Formula One board game. The one where you had to, like set the little dials.
I remember playing that game.
Yes.
I remember playing that game. I remember witnessing some of the worst language I've ever heard in my young life.
And it wasn't coming out from you.
It wasn't coming out from me, but I did learn an awful lot that day. I learned an awful lot that day. I think that the best way to compartmentalise this is to just not associate the playoffs with the Nations League.
Mm.
The Nations League, if you win your group, you get a playoff place.
Yeah.
For Euro 2020.
So 16 teams.
So each league has its own playoff tournament after the qualification tournament for Euro 2020 is over. So if you finish top of that group, of your group, you have that spot.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of teams, obviously, a lot of those teams won't need that spot, in which case it'll get dropped down to the next one that does need it.
Yes.
But what it does mean is that if you're like Holland for 2016 and you mess up your qualifying, then if you've managed to win your Nations League group, then you've got that playoff spot as your safety net. Mm. I wouldn't really... I think it confuses matters by saying that the playoff tournament is part of the Nations League.
But it is... You do earn...
But you have to play the Nations League in order to get into those playoffs.
Yeah.
So it is part of it, but it is quite some time afterwards. The Nations League will be finished and done with.
There is weirdness here, because you could get collusion here. I think this. If you're drawn in the same group as a team that you were in the same group as in the Nations League, then if you can go in this knowing that you've got a playoff place, if another team wins the group, you could decide, well, actually, we might as well put out a second string team, give them the win, and then they'll qualify and we'll get the playoff spot. And even if you're fourth place in your table.
Right. Okay. So you think that you might be persuaded to take your foot off the gas because you're going to be... So if you're fourth and you're playing a team that's third and they win, or second, and they need to win in order to guarantee going through, that there could be collusion between the second and fourth place team.
Not necessarily collusion.
You say to them, look, guys, you've got your playoff spot anyway.
Yeah.
So how about... But you could do that anyway if they were fourth anyway, couldn't
they?
Yeah. Because it doesn't make any difference. Mm. I'm not convinced by it. I need a bit more convincing about that.
The important thing about this 16-team playoff bit, which happens in March of 2020, is so just before the tournament. So we don't even know who the who is going to be in the tournament until the end of March, which is great. I think that's great.
I think that's great.
Wall chart manufacturers and sticker album that's people great. Will hate it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll hate it because like, obviously like, they're going to be the ones staying up late in April.
But they're in for a bonanza anyway because it's a massive tournament. They are in so they'll just have to manage.
Bonanza. So you've got these 16 teams, qualifying playoffs, semi-finals and finals whittled down to four teams. But what you'll get is because they are done in the four different strata, leagues, what have you, four different tiers, you will definitely get someone from the basement of European football qualifying.
Kosovo could qualify for Euro 2020.
It could indeed.
Because I think that they're probably going to be good, but because they're new, they've got very few coefficient points.
Yeah.
So they will probably end up in League D. But I think there's a very good chance that they could be the best team in League D.
They're already doing quite well. They're already ahead of Liechtenstein, Malta, Andorra, San Marino and Gibraltar. So
coming for you, Macedonia and Luxembourg.
Yeah, look over your shoulders, Moldova. They're after you.
So 40th, by the looks of things, is probably the cutoff.
It is, yeah. So from Estonia downwards, Estonia, so Belarus. Yeah.
Probably wouldn't make up that much ground before...
No.
But so they but they are likely to be going in there as one of the best teams in League D.
Well,
there's a good chance they could actually qualify.
Yeah, well, as it stands, I mean, there is only one team there that has ever qualified for a tournament, and that's Latvia.
Qualified
When Gary Johnson was in charge and took them to Euro 2004 in Portugal. So you are most likely to see here a new team going along. What do you think, Jan? Do you think that waters down the tournament, or do you think that just opens up, makes it seem more exciting, more interesting?
I think more exciting. We saw some of the so-called smaller teams at the last European tournament, and I think it was better for it. So I think that, you know, as I said when I first commented on this, that I was concerned about the concentration of the big teams, but it means a smaller nation gets in. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I suppose, Terry, though, is that those smaller, in inverted commas, smaller nations are now occupying the top half of the coefficients. So you've even got Albania at 29 now, Wales 17th. So they're a long way up. Wales are comfortably in the second tier as far as these coefficients are concerned. And Albania are pushing to get into that
yeah, season. I mean,
so you can see the teams that have done well, it's been reflected in here. But
the coefficients work nicely. The coefficients do work nicely, but it does take time to move your way up them.
Yeah.
The playoff system, by tying it to the Nations League, does mean that lower tiered teams who perhaps need a bit of a kickstart or a bit of help are able to get an appearance in the European Championships and a bit of revenue for their federations. I mean, they might end up being whipping boys, but the likelihood is that there'll still be winning teams going in there. And I suppose the other thing is this also addresses a long-held issue about the really small teams and the emerging teams.
Yeah.
I don't mean small in terms of population size. I mean small in terms of, you know, perhaps they're poor or they're just not as developed in terms of football as others. That they don't get the opportunity to compete in meaningful fixtures because they're playing ultra defensively against big teams in their own qualifying tournaments. They never get the opportunity to try different systems and tactics.
Yeah.
You know, with some degree of confidence of winning. So, you know, Malta, Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, you know, even San Marino, Gibraltar, you know, they will be able to play competitive fixtures against equally matched teams and you know, have a chance of maybe playing 4-4-2, and having a go. And that in itself, I think, is of benefit.
And it will also mean, I suppose, that if you're somebody who's got a bit of an interest in football, you have to kind of look outside of your own country to see, you know, any kind of competitive match. Whereas if as Terry said, if it's an equal match or relatively equal match, it could stimulate more interest in those countries as well, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Yes. I suppose what this is, though, this is a compromise thing, because it's not like... It's not gone completely all the way over to this, is it? It's still, you've still got the regular five different pots to select from when it comes to the actual Euro qualifying, and we will almost certainly have that again for the World Cup qualifying. But of course, we've got less spaces for World Cup qualification.
Yeah, I'm curious to learn how this all works out with the qualifying playoffs.
Yeah,
how does that work out with the FIFA World Cup? Because the World Cup, yeah, we've only got 13 spots, so
yeah,
I don't know. I doubt very much that it'll have the same value next time around, because maybe there'll only be one or two playoff spots.
Mm.
The Euro 2020, four playoff spots up for grabs for the winners of all of the groups. So I think that that's a strong incentive to do well in this league, is because I think that a lot of countries, even the biggest countries, will be quite happy and feel good about the fact that they've earned themselves a playoff spot, that there's a bit of a safety net for them. And yeah, as I said, the smaller nations have a realistic chance of making it, whereas they probably wouldn't do in their qualification group. Yeah. So I think there's enough interest, both of them there.
Mm.
You know, if England mess up their qualifying, but they win, they felt that England would win this their group, you know. But I mean, if they were, then, you know, at least you could say, right, okay, we balls this up, but at least we've got our playoff spot.
Yeah.
So it just keeps things going. I think that's the most powerful reason for participating in this league.
Yeah.
Isn't the Final Four necessarily winning it, although that could be very, very good fun.
Yes.
If the players and the teams turn up and play in the right spirit, then there's no reason why that Final Four shouldn't be a bit of fun.
No.
You know, post-seasons are good fun.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the point you made there about the players turning up. So when you're playing when we have the friendlies at the moment, the amount of the top players that pull out of friendlies because they don't really matter. Because they don't really matter. Mm. And therefore, you never have a full strength national side with all of their superstars playing, because I was just thinking of, I saw Armenia there. Mkhitaryan's from Armenia, isn't he?
He is indeed.
So
yeah.
If he's got a chance of a run out in the Premier League, or going off to play a minor friendly somewhere, well, he's going to, you know, well, does that niggle really hurt as much? Yeah, well, maybe I'll stay back and I'm a bit injured.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? We've seen that. I mean, England players do it all the time as well. But I'm just thinking if you're a superstar in for your nation and a superstar also for your club, the chances are that you may choose one over the other. And I think because this matters, there's more of an incentive to play.
On this table, and as I say, this is just a provisional table and it will change.
Mm.
On this, Armenia, as an example, will be in a group with Moldova, Liechtenstein, Gibraltar.
Mm.
Right. I mean, you'd think that they win that comfortably.
Yeah.
And that puts them...
And they would go into that.
That puts them in a playoff.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
They would know, think of that. Well, this gives us every opportunity to get through.
The tricky part with this will be the top teams.
Yeah.
It's how the top players and the top teams and the top leagues deal with this. If they treat them like friendlies, and they may well do, frankly, then that could undermine the tournament, because if it looks like the players are phoning it in, if it looks like there's not that great deal of commitment to the competition, then I imagine it will fail.
Mm.
However, it shouldn't be underestimated, I think, the value of that playoff spot. And I do think that because this happens before qualifying starts, if this was being run alongside qualifying, then this would be really difficult, because they would automatically prioritise the qualifying because it's your best chance. And also, if you're doing well in qualifying, then you think, oh, we don't have to worry about the Nations League because we're doing well in qualifying, we're going to go through this way. But because this is happening before the qualifying tournament starts, all the incentive is on the players, on the federations, on the managers, the coaches, to prioritise the tournament and try and win every game.
Mm.
And I don't think also that there'll be some teams who will like the idea of being relegated.
No.
I think there'll be some nations that will not like the idea of being relegated.
That has got big pressure on it, all told, isn't it?
That is failure.
Yeah.
Relegation is failure. And I think that, I think that that could have an unforeseen, or a, that not an unforeseen, I have just foreseen it, therefore it's not unforeseen. I think that many people might think, well, no, that's silly, but I think that could be something that players and managers will go, and federations are going, so we're now a second tier team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you think, I mean, that's a really good point, actually, because if you're playing in an international tournament and you get knocked out, then that's one thing. But if you're relegated, That's got a completely different meaning, isn't it?
Oh,
so, you know, for England to be relegated into the second tier, for example.
Yeah. Just to pluck a nation out of
I mean, it was just the first one I thought of. I didn't pick anyone in particular.
Not saying that will happen.
Yeah,
but, you know.
But I would imagine a proud nation like that, who's just stuck its fingers up to the rest of Europe, would find that a little difficult to swallow.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's...
Yes, England...
Taking back control.
The English media will treat this competition with contempt
until we get relegated.
In which case, it'll be the end of days.
Yes.
I should point out that the English, the rights for this, the TV rights, sorry for the boring TV stuff, the TV rights are sent, are being sold just like the UEFA qualifying and the FIFA World Cup qualifying rights, so centrally.
Right.
So, which is also quite good because then you get a bit more of an even spread, I would think, of the TV money throughout the UEFA confederations. And England already have a host broadcaster, and that is Sky Sports. Which, so I think they'll take it seriously because for them it was an opportunity to get back into broadcasting England games.
Yes.
Because they lost out on that deal some time ago. ITV have had that deal for some time, whereas us and Sky have only been able to pick up ones here and there.
Yeah.
And I think they would like to have the England. So they will be putting a little bit of heat behind it, because that means they've got England back, and I think they were always quite proud of that, and I imagine it's quite lucrative as well for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that there's very little there. It is a convoluted system. There's no getting around it.
No.
And I do think that if you sit down with it, when you sit down with it for the first time and go through it, you'll go, wow, this seems unnecessarily complicated. But actually, there is a simplicity to it. If you break it down, your team will be in a group of three or four, depending on how shit you are.
Yes.
And that's it.
That's it.
And you just work your way around it from there.
When you're in the group, you're going to be demoted.
Yeah.
And if you're in the top group and you win your group, you go on to a special where you could win a prize.
You could win a prize. So, you know, there's not much to get. I mean, there's not a lot there to not get behind.
Yeah.
I think there's plenty there to get behind.
And then you've got Euro 2020. And that's another load of nonsense.
That's another story.
Yes. 12 hosts for Euro 2020.
But there's a final four as well.
There is a final four, and the final four is at Wembley. At Wembley. So
which should be cracking, actually.
Which should be brilliant.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm really looking forward to that. I think that system's going to work, because let's face it, I'm going to be watching it on television, so it doesn't really matter where they are. But I suppose really, I mean, like, we could get a chance to actually go and see some games anyway, because they're in Dublin, they're in Glasgow, there's Amsterdam. I think there's, if the Belgians finally build their stadium, there'll be one there that they haven't even started yet. So that could be.
That's all right. You still got time.
Still got loads of time. Yeah, I know, but that's narrative, isn't it? And press love unfinished player stadiums, don't they?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yeah, they love a stadium that hasn't been built yet.
They love it. They love it almost as much as England getting relegated.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. You'll be reading about that Belgium stadium anytime soon. I'm sure you will. I think we've given the listeners enough to chew over now, though. I don't think we will need to return to this subject again for about another 150 episodes, I don't think. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
the subject's fine. It's just the coefficient.
Well, hopefully it's a good primer for the listeners. Certainly, it has been for us.
Yeah,
I mean, we don't have to think about it for at least another year, and then I suspect we won't have to think about it very much then. To be honest with you, but you know, now we know.
Yeah. We just know that there's a list of people that our team's going to be playing, and, you know, they'll be definitely playing football, won't they?
Do you think we should do we can't do a mock draw for it, though.
We can't do a mock draw, I'm afraid.
Because it's done by the coefficient.
We don't usually do mock draws for qualifying, though, do we?
You're right, we don't. So, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's like making predictions. We don't usually do that.
No, we don't.
No, but we could say where we wouldn't be surprised that the teams would finish within the groups.
There's 55 of them there, yeah. And I don't think the listeners have got that much patience with us. But if you've got any questions about the tournament, you've already heard about how much we understand it, but please send them in, or any comments you have about the tournament if you think it's completely nuts. Or if you live in a a different confederation.
If you live in America, you don't give a shit.
Then please tell us more about that as well. But yes, get in touch through the normal channels. We had some great feedback last week.
We did, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Some brilliant feedback. It was Ed Carter's turn to leave a big stream of consciousness on our Facebook page. So Ed Carter, of course, from the Red Button Sound of Football. which I think they're still insisting on calling the 200% podcast, aren't they?
No. That definitely is the case. I mean, they had a change of format this weekend, so bless them. But yeah, Ed's remarks were well thought out and always entertaining to read. Facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Yes, it's my turn to do the box set this week.
Lovely.
So, it's international break, so I think I've got 5 internationals. And I think I've got some lower league stuff.
Ooh, lovely. Is it a National League?
Yes, Lincoln City against Forest Green. I think I've got Scunthorpe Bradford as well. But I think that's all we've got time for this week. From me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bjorn, and from Terry Fellon, it's goodbye.
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 You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter at Sound of Football, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
The other good thing about the Nations League is that you can sing along to it with the A-team theme. Nations League!
Nations League!
Nations League! Nations League.
How would you do that, for example, in French?
That's the French's problem. They'll just have to come up with their own anthem.
Right, okay. We could shut the door.
Shut the door.
Should we just do the whole pod?
Shut the door.
In the 80s.
Well, yes. I'm going to say yes to that.
We should definitely do a musical.
I'm going to say no to that.
No, we should definitely do a musical.
Right. Okay, so we're just going to go right into it and just start talking about international football. Yeah. Right. Airplane mode?
Airplane mode? What is it?
What?
Airplane mode.
Airplane mode.
You've had some mischief chips, haven't you, tonight?
No, I haven't.
Mischief chips and gravy for tea.
No, I'm looking forward to this one. I love stuff like this.
Good.